Commons USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented tonight as a special Christmas program for all the United Nations, and presented each week and every week till it's over, over there. Christmas greetings from the USA to the AEF and to you folks in the Allied Nations as the American entertainment industry joins with the Special Service Division of the War Department in Los Angeles to close the second year of Command Performance and begin another year of serving you fighting men and women who serve the cause of freedom. This will be a year of Command Performance rolled into one star-packed night. This will be Hollywood running wild on a gigantic spree, a celebration with more stars than the greatest world premiere in the history of the movie capital. This will be super colossal. In fact, I might go so far as to say that this Command Performance should be fair to Midland. And here to knock a few fast ones down the third base line is that struggling young comedian who sat up all night shooting craps with Santa Claus, Francis Langford's bodyguard in North Africa, Bob Hope.
Thank you. How do you do, fellas? This is Bob Christmas, Command Performance Hope, wishing you servicemen all over the world a Merry Christmas and saying that the way you pistol-packing poppers are spread out, Hitler and Tojo will never get the lead out. Christmas, this is the time of the year all civilians go to restaurants, pick up the menus, look at the meat selections, and reminisce. But the last few weeks, everybody's been busy shopping and sending presents to the boys overseas. Crosby's got a novel idea. Crosby's going to find the boy who's farthest away from the United States, and he's going to send him a wonderful gift, Frank Sinatra. I sent my uncle overseas a bottle of scotch. He's the hardest drinking man in the Army. In fact, he's the only man who was ever awarded the Order of the Purple Nose. Do they laugh for me too, Kay? But Christmas in Hollywood is really different. In California, Santa Claus doesn't come down the chimney with a bag. He just staggers around the patio with a blonde. And this Christmas spirit of fellowship and goodwill has affected all the members of our armed forces. I saw a happy soldier walking into the post office with a package under his arm, and he was singing Sweet Adeline. I said, be careful, there may be an MP around. He said, who do you think I've got in the package? But I'm happy because I finished my Christmas shopping this morning and I've been out all afternoon buying expensive price tags. I drove down to do my shopping and I have a new system. I don't bother to look for a parking place anymore. As soon as I get near Hollywood Boulevard, I sell. And with those stores crowded, going up in the elevator, I had to pinch my leg 3 times to see if it was mine. My case comes up tomorrow. One little kid wouldn't get in the elevator. He didn't want to be a rising sun. But I'm... more of a descending egg, isn't it, huh? And I've never seen such crowds of people. One store was so crowded, they posted an hourly list of survivors. There was such a mob of pickpocket asked me to breathe in so he could get his hand out of my pocket. I walked over to a man with a gray beard and said, Santa Claus, what do you think I'll get for Christmas? He said, don't Santa me. I came into the store 3 months ago for some razor blades. What mobs? I wanted to stick a Christmas seal on a package, so I stuck out my tongue. Just then the crowd gave a push. The next thing I knew, a cocker spaniel was licking my face and saying, well, don't act so surprised. You started it. But I bought a nice gift for my girl, an ermine wrap. Well, not exactly ermine. It's really a brown rabbit that worried. But enough of that. You guys have gathered around the old Command Performance Christmas tree and hung up your GI socks. And old Professor Kaiser is going to fill them up with the stuff that's made his band a top favorite of the AEF. Here's the gang that stood by you ever since Command Performance was a pup. Kay Kaiser and the whole outfit playing St. James Infirmary Blues. Wonderful. Thanks to the great band of Kay Kaiser, who's here with a sprained ankle tonight, by the way. We'll bite into another chunk of that as the evening wears on. Well, gang, we've got a fella here tonight that you're always raving about in your letters to command performance. A lot of you argue that this boy is an institution in show business, but this being the jolly old Xmas tide, we're willing to settle it peacefully and agree because we sort of like this character ourselves. Fellas, a command performance for that inimitable buffoon, that incomparable raconteur, that titillating thespian, Jimmy Durante.
Inimitable buffoon, incomparable raconteur, titillating thespian. I don't know whether to thank him or sue him.
Well, well, Jimmy Durante.
Well, well, Bob Hope.
Well,
that's a great line to give Durante.
Yes, sir. The only two guys that ever made a living by the sweat of their noses.
Let's not compare snoots, old boy. Yours is only in basic training, while mine is ready for OCS.
Well, let's not argue, Jimmy. What I want to do right now is to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thanks, and a Merry Christmas to you, Robert. Plus, a usual low-tide greeting.
Low-tide? Just a minute, Jimmy. You mean Yuletide.
Robert, I know where my greetings come from, and it's low-tide. I'm sorry I said that, Robert. After all, this is Christmas, the time of the year for giving and receiving.
That's right. This is the time of the year for giving and receiving, Jimmy, but I tried it and it didn't work.
Why not?
I don't know. I guess what I had to give, Dorothy L'Amour didn't want.
I admire her foresight.
Oh!
Not to mention several other things.
Yeah. You've been hearing. I sent Bing Crosby a present, too, a beautiful package containing 12 Frank Sinatra records.
That Frank Sinatra. When he sings, the girl swoons.
So what? When that Crosby sings, the stork swoons. Trouble is, the stork didn't swoon often enough. But, Jimmy, I heard that you dressed up as Santa Claus last Christmas.
That's right, Robert.
I suppose you stuck a pillow in your pants.
Naturally. But would you believe it? Before the evening was over, the pillow split wide open, and all the feathers came out.
I bet you were very uncomfortable.
On the contrary, Robert, I was tickled. I got a million of them, a million.
Say, but climbing down all those dark chimneys, Jimmy, that's dangerous. I bet you were frightened.
Frightened? Robert, I was putrefied.
Putrefied? Jimmy, they lifted the dim out everywhere else. How come you're still in the dark?
You slipped that one in.
I wish I could pull it out right now. But look, tell me more about your playing Santa Claus.
Well, Robert, I even climbed down the chimney at Betty Grable's house, and there was a stocking, so I fills it up.
You filled it up?
Of course. What would you do?
I'd hang around and wait for her to fill it up.
I got a million of them. He had to say that one on that one. Then I left her house.
You left her house?
I climbed up the chimney.
You climbed up the chimney?
He reminds me of a parrot I once killed. I gets into my sled, but right away I have trouble with my reindeers. I yell, up, dunder, up, blitzen, up, dunder, up, blitzen. But they don't move. I go over to one reindeer and I whisper sweetly in his ear. He don't blink an eyelash. I whisper sweetly in the next reindeer's ear. He don't blink an eyelash. Then I whisper sweetly in the next reindeer's ear and he don't blink an eyelash. Then understanding comes to me.
What is it, Jimmy?
A reindeer will only blink an eyelash at another reindeer.
Well, without your reindeer, how'd you get there?
Listen, Robert, I'm gonna tell you. You know, I just got back to Hollywood today. And really, folks, I've got a lot to say. While I was there, I met President Will Hayes. And what he told me put me in a daze. Why, for days and days and days and days and days and days for a week. Everybody puts an extra note. I'll give you $50 you show me that note in the music. He showed me the music. Too bad I can't read. What a racket that leader's got with the stick. I wonder what he'd do with the stick if the band didn't show up. Mr. Hayes says, Jimmy. Mr. Hayes says, Jimmy, you've been invited to entertain at the White House. He said it'll be a gathering of the intelligentsia, the hoi polloi, the 400, the 300, the 200, the 100. That's when I walked in. Mr. Hayes says, Jimmy, what do you do when you're called upon to entertain? I said, Mr. Hayes, what'll I do? Why, in the midst of festivities, I'll get up and do my strut away in my cutaway. It's just a hop away, a slide away, and a scram away. And then you skitter right down, you go to town with a twist away. When you strut away, this way it's a holiday. You know, all over town, they're doing the Susie Q. Why, they did that dance years ago on the Rudy LaPoo. But not my strut away, in my cutaway. Why, it's a dance that's gonna gain great renown. You know, I walked into a drugstore. Now tell me, just what did you accomplish? You know, I walked into a drugstore and I ordered a banana split with whipped cream. Went for nothing. A guy hits me on the head with a bottle and said, consider yourself launched. Well, I'm a gentleman. I apologize. But he wasn't satisfied. He demanded an autopsy. So I ups to him. I face with my right. I face with my left. I seize an opening. I'm flat on my back. So what did I do? I did the crawl away, not the strut away. Did you ever have the feeling that you wanted to do the strut away? The hop away, the scram away. And then you skitter right down and you go to town doing the strut away. The scram away, the hop away. Hey, hey.
Thank you, Jimmy Durante, and may the Happy New Year be as slap happy as the old one. Thanks, too, to the 370th Army Air Forces Band of the San Bernardino Air Service Command. Gentlemen of the AEF, a word to the Army. We do not here highlight one fighting outfit above another, but at this moment, your Christmas command performance takes you to Washington for a greeting from Army's Chief of Staff, General George C. Marshall.
Christmas this year finds our army deployed in greatly increased strength throughout the world, an army of battle-tested veterans. Victories, some of them great victories, are constantly being won in the air, on the ground, and over the beaches of the Aleutians, the far Pacific and the Mediterranean. German industries and cities are being pounded to a pulp. The German and Japanese air forces are being bled white with rapidly accumulating losses. However desperate the fighting or difficult the climate, however tragic the losses of fine young American lives, our opponents are suffering far more severely and suffering with the knowledge constantly before them of impending defeat and destruction. All America is filled with pride in the feats of the Army. The troops at home, inspired by what has been done in the field, are impatient to get into the fighting. Every resource we possess is being employed to hasten the victory. Wherever you are, especially you in lonely, isolated posts, this Christmas message goes to you with my heartfelt thanks, with my prayers for your success and safety, and with complete confidence in your soldierly determination to crash through every barrier and enemy to a triumphant test of our democracy and of our people. God bless you all. May your Christmas be a cheerful one.
On the list. list of American girls who have cut a niche on that GI Hall of Fame is a gal named Frances Langford. I know of a few hundred thousand of you who have said you'd never hope to meet a finer girl than Frances, and brother, you're on the beam with that sentiment. Fellas, a Christmas command performance for Frances Langford.
Thanks, Bob, and Christmas greetings, fellas. It's been customary during the last year to try and answer those swell letters you write to us on command performance, and I wouldn't want to break an old custom. So before doing the tune that I get the most requests for, I'm sending love to those VCOs in England, to the officer's mess at the RNAV station in Waipapakura, New Zealand. And there's an Irish girl named Frances Daly at the Air Ministry in London who speaks pretty highly of you American boys, particularly one of you at 528. Hello to Joe and Boots and the 8 Baldeuce gang at 948, including Sam, Mike, Joe, and Piper. And to Private Vera L. Forey and 14 ATS girls in the military hospital in North Wales. And I don't mean working there either. They're casualties. This only hits a few spots on the mail route, but to the many of you we've learned to know by your handwriting and your APO numbers, may the new year bring you all home safely. And here's that number.
Like the beat, beat, beat of the tom-tom when the jungle shadows fall. Like the tick, tick, tock of the stately clock as it stands against the wall. Like the drip, drip, drip of the raindrops when the summer shower is through. So a voice within me keeps repeating, you, 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 night and day, you are the one, only you beneath the moon and under the sun, whether near no matter, darling, where you are, I think of you night and day, day and night. Why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever? In the silence of my lonely room, I think of you night and day. Night and day. Under the hide of me, there's an old touch of hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you. Day.
Christmas, Frances. You know, we got so many bands here tonight that if we had egg sandwiches, lager beer, and ants, this command performance would be a musician's union picnic. Well, man, if you're ever in New York and feel up to a little high-class slum, and the place to go is Duffy's Tavern. At Duffy's, they have a choice of food anywhere from pig's feet to pig's knuckles, and silverware from every depot restaurant in America. The head cheese at Duffy's, the head cheese at Duffy's is an amiable bartender named Archie who shakes up the King's English and week after week pours out one of the most popular radio shows in the nation. If my brother Jack wrote this, he'd be on the county in the morning. But here he comes, full of Christmas cheer, Ed Archie Gardner, right here.
Thank you very much.
Archie, tell me, this boss of yours, Duffy, is he as dumb as they say he is?
Is he as dumb? Perish forbid. He couldn't be. Yet the guy has certain moments of lucidity, you know. Take how he manages our ball team, the D-A-A-I-Y.
The D-A-A-I-Y?
Yeah, Duffy's All-American Irish Yankees. Duffy was the only guy with the brains that discovered one of the greatest two-headed pitchers that ever lived.
A two-headed pitcher? A two-headed pitcher?
Yeah, a two-headed pitcher. You see, one day Duffy says to Dugan, the shortstop, he says, Dugan, we got a great ball club here, but it lacks color. What's the answer, you see? So Dugan says, color, huh? He says, I don't know whether this is it or not, Duffy, but I think I know where I can lay my hands on a pitcher with two heads, you know? So Duffy says, a pitcher with two heads. I don't know, Dugan. You think it'd be a novelty? So Dugan says, what if it ain't? Where can you get a guy that can watch first and third at the same time? So Duffy says, yeah, that's an angle. He says, besides, he'd be a natural for double-headers. So he says, what's the guy's name, Dugan? You know, so Dugan says, well, his real name is Tom and Arthur McGinnis, you know. But for some reason or other, he's called Two-Top Gruskin. So Duffy says, Two-Top, I wonder why they call him that, you know. So Dugan says, I don't know, maybe on account of the two heads, you know. So Duffy says, what a funny nickname. You know, he says, where's the guy from? So Dugan says, he's from Walla Walla.
Well, look, Archie, did you actually see this two-headed pitcher yourself?
You doubt my vivacity? Of course I seen him. I seen him the first night he comes into Duffy's Tavern, you know, all dressed up formal in a tuxedo, you know, sign a contract. Well, everybody in the joint stares at the guy, you know. The two-headed guy turns to the crowd, you know, they're staring at him. He says to them, he says, what's the matter? None of you guys ever see a tuxedo before? Yeah, so, of course, Duffy's a diplomat, you know. He quick covers the embarrassment. He says, way to bring the gentleman two beers. No? So he says, stick around, Two-Top. There's a masquerade tonight, you know. It's a masquerade that we had. And funny thing, Bob, Two-Top wins first prize at the masquerade, you know. Comes as a pair of bookends. Yeah. Yeah, with a little book between his two heads, you know, a little... little book that his mother gave him called My Son, My Son. Well, anyways, Duffy says to him, he says, Two-Top, I'm a man of few words. Report at the ballpark tomorrow morning. There's a uniform and two caps waiting for you in the locker room.
Well, how did he get along in the ball club?
Well, not too good. You see, the trouble starts in the first game. We got this catcher, Gorilla Hogan, you know, a natural-born catcher, stands 6 feet 14 inches high, and he squats standing up. And it looks like he just stepped out of a jungle, you know, a veritable gargantua, you know.
Sounds like a monstrosity.
Yeah, swell fella. Anyways, the trouble starts right away, you see. The gorilla signals for a fast curve, you see. So the two-headed guy nods one head yes and shakes the other head no. Well, this naturally confuses the gorilla, you know. He ain't a bright guy anyhow. Even for a gorilla. So he makes a beeline for Duffy. So the gorilla says, Duffy, I'm getting sick and tired of nothing but two-headed pitchers around here. See, so Duffy, you know, calms him down. He says, cool off, gorilla. Go out and talk things over with a guy. After all, three heads is better than one. So the gorilla says, it's no use, Duffy. You know, I just got a feeling that the guy ain't quite normal. So he says, Duffy, I'm quitting. It's either either him or me, you know. So choose. And don't forget who owns the baseball.
And that was Two Top's finish, huh?
Yeah, it was his finish, and it was sad, you know, the way the lumps come up in his throat when... No, and Duffy told him that he had to go. The guy really liked to play baseball, you know.
Well, what's he doing now?
Oh, he went back to his old job, watching tennis matches for Pat They Knows.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Ed Gardner. And Command Performance swings the international rangefinders around next to pick up all APO and FPO numbers, where Nelson Eddy is a solid favorite. Solid Eddy, we call him. Good cheer to a guy who scattered plenty of cheer around this past year, Nelson Eddy.
Thank you, Bob, and hello, fellas. Along about this time of the year, the air is thick with New Year resolutions. Personally, I haven't caught up to my 1941 resolutions. Of course, most resolutions are tough to keep, so I'm going to make just one that'll be a cinch. Namely, to pop around to Command Performance and do my stuff whenever you guys cue me in with your letters. Tonight, we can't spend much time dropping letters in your postbox because the line here is a mile long. But a quick load of Christmas greetings to all points of the GI compass. And a howdy to a gang of Canadians in London, including Mac, Shrimp, Baldy, Slick, Eddie, Beautiful, and Jiggerbag. And here's a song I put beneath your tree.
When Stranger Jack came, Noah's Ark old man. When Lion Frog came, Daniel Slot Harman. Lord help those who pray, and on Judgment Day. Lift up your head and shout, there's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise that by and by there's gonna be a great day. Gabriel will warn you some early morn, you will hear his horn. Rudolph Tobin, it's not far away. Hold up your hands and say, there's gonna be a great day. Gonna be a great day. There's gonna be a great day. Gabriel will warn you some early morn. You will hear his horn. Rudolph, it's not far away. Hold up your hands and say, there's gonna be.
Somewhere about the historic explosion of the volcano Krakatoa in 1883, when a whole island in the Sunda Strait blew up, scattering ashes across the entire earth. That was the loudest noise the world ever heard prior to Spike Jones and the City Slickers. But don't let them kid you, this outfit is a musical organization. The fact that Spike uses a washboard for certain tonal effects is merely a sign of the times. These kids are doing their own laundry. Tonight, the City Slickers have prepared their version of Chloe featuring Red Ingle and the Saliva Sisters. And if it goes good here, they're going to use it New Year's Eve when they headline the floor show at the Barber Stag Party. Command Performance presents Spike Jones and the City Slickers.
Chloe, Halloween. Someone's calling.
Hello.
You don't say. You don't say. You don't say.
Who's that?
He didn't say. No reply. Nightshade's fallen. Hear him sigh. Halloween.
Where are you, you old man?
He's crying through the black of night. I got to go where you are.
Whether it's here or whether it's there, I want to be there wherever you are.
If it's wrong or right, I got to go where you are.
Thunder and lightning, shower or snow, when I hear the call, I gotta go!
I roam through the dismal swampland, searching for you, cause if you are lost there, let me be there.
2, 3, 4, halt!
Through the smoke and flame, I got to go where you are.
Hello, Chloe, what are you doing?
I just came back from a vaudeville show.
For no place can be too far. Where you want, ain't no chains can bind you. If you live, I'll find you. Love is calling me.
Hello. You don't say. You don't say.
Who was it?
Same guy.
I got to go where you are.
Cave in the swamp. I hope that I'll never find you.
God, if you are not there, let me be there too.
Yeah, she must be using vanishing cream.
If you live, ha-ha, I'm going to find you, my pretty baby.
Love is calling me.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Who was it?
Pistol packing mama.
Oh, I got to go.
I got to go where she's at.
Thank you, Spike Jones and the City Slickers, for that touch of French drama. Now, fellas, not a single day goes by that old Sam the mailman doesn't drop in with a satchel full of letters from you guys, putting the bee on us for more and more of the music of Jenny Sims. Jenny has commuted back and forth between the movie set and command performance for the greater part of the last 2 years. And from a usually reliable source, in this case, La Belle Sims herself, she has already budgeted her time for 1944 to handle all future requests. Greetings to Ginny Sims.
Thank you, Bob. Hi, fellas. And all of our love to all of you on this Christmas occasion. My greeting card, by way of command performance, goes to all APO and FPO numbers from the China Coast to the Gold Coast of Africa. But I'll post a couple of extra greetings right now to Nernblatt, Sarge Saunders, and the RAF gang at Dorset. That's Red Nunn, old Bill Whitlock, Algie O'Neill, Dan Fowler, and Snowball Shingles. And over in Blackpool Lane, A.S. Crew says, after we win the war, I'm coming to America to visit the stars. But meantime, keep me going with command performance. Our best to Chester Dennis and that weather station way out on the African desert. And love from the gang at home to Sarge Benny Rays, somewhere in the South Pacific. And fellas, how about this? Dennis Riding, a British infantryman, is in Ward 1 at the hospital in Carluke, Scotland. And he says, I'm back from the fighting in Tunisia, and maybe I shouldn't make a request because I'm really not overseas now. Well, Dennis, every word and every song are for men like you. But fellas, time's wasting now, so with a wish for a happier new year for all of you, here's one of your good old favorites, You'll Never Know.
Never know just how much I miss you. You never know just how much I care. And if I try, I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, for haven't I told you so? A million or more times, you went away. And my heart went with you. I speak your name in my every breath. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't know now. You went away and my heart went with you. I speak your name in my every prayer. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know. Never know if you don't know now.
Great Americans said, without a decisive naval force, we can do nothing definite, but with it, we can do everything honorable and glorious. Well, in that book of victory of the armed forces, Navy is writing a glorious chapter. And it's our privilege on this Christmas occasion to bring to you men and women of our first line of defense, the voice of Navy's chief. We take you to Washington and the Secretary of the Navy, Mr. Frank Knox.
Today we observe the birth of the Prince of Peace in a war-torn world. That cannot help but seem a travesty on the meaning of the day. Our comfort and inspiration is that this world is 1 year nearer to the preservation of the principles taught by the Master. Since I cannot personally greet each man and woman in the United States Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard, I take this method of wishing you well and expressing my hope that all of you will have a successful year to come. We are joined in a struggle against evil forces, forces that challenged our right to try to live as Christ taught. He lived and died that men might be free, and gave us the ideals of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Unfortunately, there arose to positions of power men who were ambitious to substitute a philosophy of cruelty, force, and slavery for the ideals of charity, goodwill, and peace. To them, our way of life was a sign of weakness. They are beginning to find out how wrong they were. I know that many of you are observing Christmas in strange and unhomelike surroundings, with the sounds of battle in your ears rather than Christmas carols. Some are in the frozen regions of the north, others in tropic regions down under, many more on ships at sea. Your thoughts are naturally turned back to a familiar street or farm or community here at home. I can assure you that all our thoughts are equally turned to you wherever you are. We are joined in spirit over thousands of miles. The months past have been hard ones, but for our cause, they have also been successful. Our losses have been great, but the enemy's losses have been infinitely greater. During the time since last Christmas, we have learned much in the coordination of efforts, in the ability to work together with our allies. At the same time, builders at home have added hundreds of new ships and thousands of new planes and guns to make us stronger and more able to carry the tremendous task before us. We face what lies ahead with confidence, a confidence born of the knowledge that well-trained men and resolute women of the services are determined to end this struggle with victory in the shortest period of time. Although my brief words of greeting to you at this time can in no way substitute for the presence of those you love at home, I can speak for all the men, women, and children of this nation in expressing that trust and faith in your ability. The freedom-loving peoples of the earth are engaged in a struggle against tyranny and to liberate from bondage the millions who are snared by the chains of Nazi greed and brutal Japanese militarism. I wish you good hunting in that fight. As individuals and as fighting units of the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard, a Merry Christmas to you and a fruitful and victorious New Year. Let your strength be in this thought, that each move forward brings us all closer to the celebration of a peaceful and secure Christmas Day, when this world of ours will be a better place in which to live.